ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 श्रीहरिं परमानन्दम् उपदेष्टारमीश्वरम् व्यापकं सर्वलोकानां कारणं तं नमाम्यहम् अपरोक्षानुभूतिर्वै प्रोच्यते मोक्षसिद्धये सद्भिरेव प्रयत्नेन वीक्षणीया मुहुर्मुहुः स्ववर्णाश्रमधर्मेण तपसा हरितोषणात् साधनं प्रभवेत् पुंसाम् वैराग्यादिचतुष्टयम् The teacher, having introduced the benediction, having done the benediction in the first verse, and the second verse onwards, her second verse he presents the sadhana, actually sadhana, anubandha chatushtayam, the four factors involved in the textbook, any textbook. And thereafter, the third verse, he talks about the qualifications. Third verse onwards, he talks about the qualifications. The third verse, the first line, he says, how to have those qualifications. He says in the first line, and thereafter, he tells what those qualifications are. So when he mentioned, when he reveals how to have those qualifications, he said haritoshanat. No, but pleasing the Lord. So pleasing the Lord implies what? Tapping Ishwara's grace. Only by having Bhagavan's grace, we need to have grace. Without a grace, nothing will work. Only by tapping Bhagavan's grace, you can have the fourfold qualifications. But how to tap Bhagavan's grace, for which you should live, or no, a disciplined life. You know, of course, the act of praying will help you to tap Bhagavan's grace. Definitely will help you. But the prayer will be 100% effective. The worship will be effective only if a person lives a life of, you know, life of karma yoga, life of dharma. We are going to see it actually. So the disciplined life. So tapasa. Okay, tapasa. And then also by doing one's duties. In keeping with one's varna and ashrama, whatever one's duties are, one should know what one's duties are and one should do one's duties in conformity with dharma in order to tap Bhagavan's grace. Okay, that first he says, how to have the fourfold qualifications. There will be constant, continuous effort to tap Bhagavan's grace. Why? For what? To be blessed with the qualifications. Grace becomes the means for accomplishing qualifications. And how to tap grace? One should do one's duties. If you do not do your duties, Bhagavan's grace cannot be tapped. And you do your duties, how do your duties? In conformity with dharma. And following disciplines. So being disciplined, being committed to values, one, if a person lives a life of dharma, then one can have Bhagavan's grace. If you have Bhagavan's grace, then you can have, what now, fourfold qualifications. Got it? Thereafter, and he presents the fourfold qualifications, and we have seen sadhanam prabhavet pumsam vairagyadi chatushtayam. And what are the fourfold qualifications? And here in Tattva Bodha we studied first vivekaha, and in this verse, in the fourth verse, introduces vairagyam. Okay, the dispassion. We already seen dispassion. We'll read the verse and go to the next one. Brahmadisthavaram teshu. Vairagyam Vishayeshvano. Vairagyam Vishayeshvano. Yathaiva Kaka Vishthayam. Vairagyam Taddhinirmalam. Vairagyam Taddhinirmalam. That indeed is pure, absolute vairagyam. Pure vairagyam, nirmalam vairagyam. Okay, vairagyam, dispassion. What is that now? Brahmadis thavaranteshu vishayeshu vairagyam anu. I explained the meaning of the word anu also. Not the word, but no, the anu, the sound anu there. I explain. See how one, how does it make for a person to get rid of the kakavishta, the crow droppings? Similarly, one should be able to, you know, one should be able to see everything in this universe, all the objects of pleasures, all the pleasures also, from what? He says, mentions from the highest of the object of pleasure onwards, and what to talk of any other object of pleasure in this world. This is Brahma Adi Sthavara Anta. There's so many objects of pleasures, and the greatest of the pleasure is what now? Enjoying the pleasure in the Brahma Loka. And he talks about what enjoyment of greatest, highest pleasure by reaching Brahma Loka, also from that pleasure onwards. And any other pleasure, the least pleasure one can have from any of the these worldly objects, okay, the sthavara, either living thing or non-living thing, all the objects and all the objects are pleasures, all the pleasures, all of them are actually, what now, all of them become objects of disinterest. The person has to be, first person becomes dispassionate towards them, how? Knowing their limitations. come to know of the limitations of the external world of objects also, only if there is a purushartha nischaya. Very important. Purushartha nischaya, the definiteness about the end of life, the ultimate end of life being moksha, is not clear, and one cannot know the value of moksha. If one does not know the value of moksha, one cannot know the value of knowledge. If one does not know the value of knowledge, it is not possible for one to know the limitations of the worldly objects. Knowing the limitations of the other worldly objects means what? Any of the objects, whether it's the Brahmaloka or any other ordinary object in this world, knowing the limitation of any object means that it cannot give me what I want. That means one should be very clear about what one wants. If one does not have purushartha nischaya, where is the question of knowing the limitations of the worldly objects? It's impossible. That is why anu implies, if a person has purushartha nischaya, if a person knows his ultimate end being is moksha, and thereby if he knows the moksha is nothing but discovering the happiness which is already there, therefore it is the discovery nothing but knowledge of what freedom is, what happiness is, and when a person knows it is knowledge of the self, is knowledge of the reality, and knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what happiness is. It is the knowledge of what happiness is, in fact, is attainment of happiness, which is freedom from limitations. You know, unless a person knows this value of knowledge, there is no way of seeing the limitations of other worldly objects also. When a person knows the value of knowledge, then naturally value means it is the knowledge alone which can give me what I seek in life. Jnana, the eva kaivalyam, it is the knowledge which alone can give me what I want in life. What I want, I am very clear. It is the knowledge alone which can give me what I want in life. If it is very clear, then he knows. Everything else in the world, nothing in the world can give me what I want. That knowledge alone really helps him to become disinterested in all the objects. That's why the dispassion is not born of force or compulsion or frustration or temporary disappointments, but dispassion is born of one's understanding and firm conviction that jnanam alone can give me moksha and nothing else can give me moksha. Moksha is my ultimate end. That conviction born dispassion. Or naturally grows out of desire for any pleasure, any object of pleasure. Okay, that is why it is something very... being dispassionate, it's a very great thing, achievement. Becoming dispassionate itself is a great achievement. It is, I don't know, there's a difference between frustration and dispassionate. Isn't it? So he says, vairagyam. And that vairagyam, when a person really becomes dispassionate, and for him, the being dispassionate towards other things doesn't become an issue of great pride. People, when they give things also, what now? Then there's sort of pride, okay? Oh, you know, I have given up that. I've been eating non-vegetarian food for 30, 40 years and now I've given up here. So what? A big achievement or what? Now, anything you give up, and people always, you could have heard people, they offered me this amount of money, I refused to accept it. So, whenever you talk about what you have denied to, talk about what you have denied to accept, or what you have really given up, what you are not interested in anymore, that shows, what now? Still, there is a lingering value, okay? Value for those things. Unless there is a tinge of value in your mind you have towards those objects, you will not talk about your renunciation of those things. Isn't it? Therefore here, even that is not thing here, there's nothing to boast about or nothing to feel proud of giving up certain things in life. It's absolutely maturity. Okay, maturity. So what is that? That is vayatha kakavishtayam vairagyam. Okay, just as one forgets about throwing away off the droppings of crow after removing it, similarly, one should also forget about what one has really given up also. That is what is real vairagyam. One grows out of desire for objects and objects are precious. And having grown out of desire for objects and objects are precious, one forgets about one's desire for those objects. Slowly. That is real. Forgets about one's dispassion also. One's renunciation also. I have given up this. Okay. Thereafter, in the fifth verse, the teacher introduced, he talked about nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. He discusses the first qualification, viveka, in the next verse, fifth verse. Nityamatma swarupam hi drishyam tadviparitagam evam yo nischaya samyak viveko vastuna savai. This also we have discussed earlier. Okay, vivek vastunaha vivekaha samyak vivekaha, the clear discriminative knowledge. Okay, the discriminative knowledge, the doubtless discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is not permanent is vivekaha. Therefore, and in that, the discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent implies very clearly that everything else in the world, the any pursuit of artha, the artha, okay, and pursuit of kama, the pleasures, the objects of pleasures, the pleasures, and all so-called infrastructure which one definitely needs to live one's life in this universe, okay, which having which one feels secure. The objects of the infrastructure every individual human being enjoys in this world to live one's life, you know, and having which one feels relatively secure, all those objects of security and then also objects of pleasure and the pleasures, even the life of dharma. It is important for one to live a life of dharma. It is very, very important one that one should live a life of values. But even the dharma also has its own limitation. If you live a righteous life, a clean life, and you are accumulating punya. You do not live a clean life, you are accumulating papa. Okay, that's all. Even punyam also is what now? Punyam also is a karma phalam. The karma phalam is time bound. About papa karma phalam, you have to go through pain as a result of papa karma phalam. But even the punyam can produce what now? Punyam can bless you with the pleasure, but not papa, the pain. But the pleasure also is what now? Time bound, because punya karma, the karma itself is time bound. And the karma bond punyam also is what now? Time bound phalam. Therefore, the time bound phalam can produce only one time bound pleasure. It's called knowing the limitation of dharma also. That does not mean you should not live a life of dharma. Okay? One should live a life of dharma, but one should know the limitation of dharma. Okay, therefore, if we don't live a life of dharma, suffering is the only way, no other go. If we live a life of dharma, of course, you can have pleasure, but the pleasure is what now? The conversion of punyam, the fruit of right action, is what now? Pleasure. Pleasure is time bound. Why? Because the punyam is time bound. Why Punyam is time bound? Punyam is result of, product of karma, karma phalam. Therefore, why karma is also time bound? Simple thing. This is why I understand the limitation of artha, kama, dharma, all the pursuits. Therefore, anything which is time bound can give me only time bound pleasure, not the timeless, everlasting peace and happiness. If I want everlasting happiness, that must be from what now? Only an everlasting, permanent vastu. Therefore, there is a permanent vastu, which is otherwise called Brahman, the reality. Okay, and that alone can give me a permanent happiness. And a time-bound thing cannot give me permanent happiness. This understanding is called what now? Discriminative knowledge. Discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent. Called Vivekaha. Only if a person has this Viveka, then for him the Vairagyam is possible. In this book, Vairagyam is presented first and Vivekaha is presented next, because he, in order to talk about the importance, the greatness of Vairagyam, Shankara introduces Vairagyam first. That is why Vedanta is not very interesting for many people, because it emphasizes Vairagyam. Every time any pleasure is there, and then you feel little guilty. Vedanta makes you feel guilty about. Vedanta doesn't have the intention of making you feel guilty. Actually, you feel guilty because of your own understanding. Vedanta only teaches you the fact. Vedanta teaches the fact. And you, because you are not totally a foolish person, you have some buddhi also. Therefore, naturally what happens, and we use our buddhi, and we do understand, and we see what Vedanta says, the fact doesn't, you know, contradict our reasoning. Therefore, we understand the fact, accept the fact. And we understand, we see the Vedantic teaching, when Vedanta says how everything is, you understand, and the way your own analysis has already helped you, what now? Understand the limitations. So naturally you know how everything is time bound in nature. And we see in our life deaths happening. We see in our lives, you know, sudden changes happening, sudden destruction happening. We see so many things happening now. Our own life's experiences are enough to teach us what? Limitations of everything. Nothing is permanent. And Vedanta also what now? Reminds you of the same fact. Now you know from your own experiences how everything is transient. Everything is impermanent. Now how and what you want is moksha, happiness. And how do you still, you know, how are you holding on to those things, you know, again for happiness? This teaching, because Vedantic teaching happens to be the fact, and then it doesn't contradict our reasoning. So that is why the guilt is our own guilt. Okay? That's why people don't like sometimes. Okay. Anyway, so this is Nityam Atmaswarupam Drishyam Tad Viparitagam Evam Yaha Nisamyak Evam Nischeha Samyak Vastunaha Samyak Vivekaha Saha. We've seen this also last class. So we have to go to the next verse today. Today's class, we're coming to the next today's class. And the third verse onwards, Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the third qualification of disciplines, which we have already studied in Tattva Bodha, so you can relax and understand. The sixth verse presents the two disciplines, Shamaha and Damaha. Sadaiva Vasana Tyagaha. Vasana Tyagaha. Shamoyamiti Shabditaha.
Shamoyamiti Shabditaha.
Nigraho Bahya Vrittinam.
Nigraho Bahya Vrittinam.
Dhamayityadibhidiyate.
Dhamayityadibhidiyate.
You can say
Damayityabhidiyate Adibhidiyate Adar Adiabhidiyate Swai. This is the first verse. Sada Yeva. Shankara begins with that indeclinable word Sada. Sada means always. Always means what now? One should take care of all the time. What one should take care of all the time? Vasana tyagaha. Definitely that sada, always. And eva shabda, eva is another indeclinable, which is also very emphatic. Sada vasana tyagaha eva. No, sada vasana tyagaha. Sada eva vasana tyagaha means always one should take care of one's vasanas. So here, as I told you earlier, in tattva bodha, shamaha means what now? Mano nigraha. That's what tattva bodha teacher defines shamaha as mano nigraha. And in this book, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents it differently as what now? Vasana tyagaha. Let us see what is mano nigraha, then we'll come to what is vasana tyagaha. A slightly different, but they both mean the same. How both mean the same? So here, the shamaha, there when you say mano nigraha, having mastery over one's thoughts, is called nigraha. Even though the word nigraha literally means, it has many meanings. Nigraha means obstruction, nigraha means destruction, nigraha means, you know, obstacle, okay, and also suppression. But here nigraha means mastery, which means, okay, discipline, which implies discipline. So mano nigraha means mastery over one's thoughts, all the thoughts. What is the very word mastery implies? What? You cannot control your thoughts. When you say having mastery over one's thoughts is shamaha, which is called mastery over one's mind, which itself implies what? You cannot control the thoughts. What does it mean when you say control the thoughts? You cannot oppress, suppress, destroy or control the thoughts means you do not have any say over your thoughts. You do not have any say over your thoughts means you do not create your thoughts. If this book is in front of me, okay, I can take the book in front of me or I can keep it aside. That means what now? I can use my will to do what to do, okay, to do or not to do, or do it differently. I can keep the book here, I can keep the book there, or I can keep it there, I can leave it as it is. This means I am using my will. Okay, if I can use the will, then I have some say over action. Okay, I have some say over action. I can do, I need not do, I can do differently. This is governed, I can use my free will. I can will. I have says or some action. But what about the vrittihi? What about the avritti means a thought? Antahkarana vrittihi means a thought modification which rises as part of the mind, isn't it? Like desire, anger, jealousy, hatred, you know, depression, frustration, confusion. All these are all thoughts. We do not have any say over these thoughts. I mean, we cannot push aside those thoughts. Nor can we like this, oh, I want to have anger today. We cannot decide to have the anger. We cannot decide to get rid of anger. We cannot undo or we cannot control. Come on, don't come. Go and sit there. If a dog comes, go and don't sit there. Like that, don't come anger. What say do we have? This is called what now? We cannot will not have any say over the thoughts. Why? Because that we are not creating our thoughts. We are not creators of our thoughts. Thoughts are what now? Part of the individual. You know very well now. Individual is a composition of sthula, sukshma, karana and atma. When you say individual is the whole, everything put together is an individual. Therefore, what about the mind? Mind is an integral part of sukshma shariram, which is an integral part of the individual. So what about the mind again? Therefore, every thought which is an integral part of the mind, which is an integral part of the sukshma shariram, which is an integral part of the human being, the individual. Therefore, here it is not possible for one to undo the thoughts. But still, one has to have mastery over the thoughts. Having mastery over the thoughts means one should be able to manage one's thoughts. The thought management is called shamaha. Mind management is called shamaha. Otherwise called, you can say what now? Self-management. When if you look at the self mind as a self here, mind management is otherwise called self-management. And that definitely one should manage one's mind thoughts. And here Shankara does not say how to, we are going to see that. How to manage one's thoughts is not said, but we have to understand ourselves. We have already seen only by using our willpower, you have to use your will to manage your thoughts. If you do not use your will, you will be abusing your will. Please, I tell you, we are blessed with the willpower. And that willpower has to be used. If you do not make use of the willpower, we will end up abusing the willpower. Okay, what does it mean? If you willpower is used to do the right actions, the willpower is used. The willpower, if you do the wrong action, willpower becomes abused. How to, therefore, what now? Once you have to use one's will means, because you have to choose to do the right action, avoid the wrong action. How to choose the right action, how to avoid the wrong action? An action which is against the values, is wrong action. An action which is in conformity with the values is the right action. Therefore, you know what the values are, and you have to, therefore, in conformity with your knowledge of values, your choice of action must be in conformity with your knowledge of values. Your choice of action must be in conformity with your knowledge of values. This is what we say, thought and action being in alignment. Similarly, what to speak also must be in conformity with your knowledge of values. What is right, what is proper, what is inappropriate, appropriate, you should know. You know definitely. Definitely you know. And your knowledge, you know what the values are. Therefore, your action, what you do and what you speak must be in conformity with, in alignment with your knowledge of values. This is what thought, word and deed being in alignment. This is called what now? Arjavam, Rujuta. Isn't it straightforwardness, nobility, noble person, you say, nobility. Okay, this is then, the person is called integrated personality. So this, understand now, therefore, shamaha. How you can do that? By living a life of values. So how can I live a life of values? But you have to commit yourself to live a life of values. only by committing to live a life of values, consciously, deliberately, making all possible prayatna, all efforts, if you commit yourself to live a life of values, that's only way you can use your will, you can avoid abusing your will. Then actions are right actions, avoid the wrong actions. Isn't it? That is how you manage your thoughts. The thoughts can come, but thoughts do not all, they are expressed, what? No. When the thoughts are expressed in of action, and they are only right actions are there. So all the thoughts do not get expressed. Whatever action you are doing is the expression of your thought. Your external behavior is expression of your thought. What you are doing externally, all actions are expression of your desires, your thoughts. Therefore, how you behave, what you do, imply or express your conformity to dharma. This is the only way one can manage one's thoughts. And for this again, how to use your will, I'm going to next step. How to use your will, how to avoid abusing my will, how to do only the right actions, how to live a life of values. I know the values, I want to live a life of values, but still, thereby I want to be only a righteous person, I want to be ethical, that I want to manage my thoughts, but how to live a life of values means, that is why you will know, if you know the value of values, it is easy for you to commit yourself to live a life of values. You already know the values, but knowledge of values alone sometimes is not enough to be committed to live a life of values. If knowledge of values alone is enough for one to be committed to live a life of values, then I tell you, in the whole world, everybody will be what now? Highly ethical and righteous. You cannot find one person who is a wrongdoer. You know, every human being is equally blessed with the knowledge of all the values. Equal knowledge of all the values. So knowledge of values is already there. But knowledge of values alone is not enough for one to be committed to do only the right act. Live a life of values all the time. Because situations will change and we will be different. Our worldly needs, the pressures, external influences may really make you forget your knowledge of values. We know everything, but we forget easily. It will not come, your knowledge will not be handy for you to use them appropriately in every situation. But for you all the time to be reminded of the value, knowledge of values, and do not make use of those values, to be committed to live a life of values, it is very important for one to know the value of values. And to know the value of values, one should know the value of, the importance of having pure and steady mind. And to know the value of, or the importance of the having the pure and steady mind, one should know the value of knowledge of the self. To know the value of knowledge, one should have purushartha nischaya. Therefore, it is purushartha nischaya helps me to have the value of knowledge. And the value of knowledge helps me to know the value of being endowed with the pure and steady mind. My knowledge of the value of having pure and steady mind helps me to know what now? the value of values. Unless I live a life of values, there's no way of my mind becoming pure and steady. No way of, I cannot imagine the knowledge at all. Okay, this knowledge, this is how one has to know the value of values. By knowing the value of values, and one can commit oneself to live a life of values. By committing oneself to live a life of values, one always makes use of, therefore one becomes conscious of making use of one's willpower, one avoids abusing one's willpower, one avoids wrong actions. This is how one's external behavior is 100% completely governed by one's commitment to dharma, or of values. Is it clear now? This is how one becomes an integrated personality, a noble person, a righteous ethical person. This is the only way one can manage one's thoughts, which is called Shamaha. I think I put them all together today. And here Shankara says what here? Vasana Tyagaha. What is a vasana? And any action, any experience, an experience once you had, an action once you have done, creates a mental impression called vasana. In Sanskritam, samskaraha. Samskaram janayati. Samskara janakam karma. Abhyasaha. Isn't rudihi. The practice. Once you do something and it creates an impression. It's called vasana. Suppose first time I go to somebody's house, I never ate a chocolate in the Chajji's house. Okay? And Anne got me nice white ball chocolates, ball like chocolates. I never had before in my life until I came to this country. I never had this ate anywhere in this country also. First time I went to their house and then she got me once. And then when I ate it, I liked it and all that. Then the taste, everything what, no, I had a samskara. How it tasted, I ate it, samskara. And then she was getting, every day after lunch, I was having those chocolates for a few days. And then what happened? Even after I left the house, I came to other house, and the same time, after lunch, I was reminded of that action, of act of eating chocolate. I'm just giving an example, not true. Therefore, the samskaraha, any action once done, creates an impression, mental impression called vasana, a samskaraha. That samskara really is activated in your mind. It's there already. You don't forget very quickly, you see. The thought, everything is there. And it's activated at a given time. Whenever, the samskaraha is already there. Okay, born of what now? One experience. Born of once you have done an action, that any action done once, anything experienced once, creates a vasana, samskara. That samskara, that vasana, becomes activated at a given time. So whenever the vasana is activated, that becomes what now? That surfaces as a thought. Okay, let me eat chocolate again. It's called thought. Therefore, what is the thought is what now? Manifestation of samskara, manifestation of this vasana is the thought vrittihi. Unmanifest vritti is samskara, thought, vasana. Vrittihi, a thought unmanifest is vasana. Vasana manifest is vrittihi, the thought. Is it clear now? And here Shankara says, after having the thought, you have to use your will to manage your thought. Before the vasana comes as a thought itself, you can manage the very vasana. How to manage the vasana? And we have, what now? Suppose getting up in the morning, 5 o'clock. In the morning. Getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning is a very good, what now? And then the vasana, once the vasana gets, when activated vasana, then becomes a thought, and the thought, you are completely helpless, okay? The thought comes and you do the action. Then when you do it, so when the thought comes as a desire for chocolate, and then you do it. You do not manage your desire there, you just keep on eating. Every day at the same time. Then every day at 12 o'clock when you start eating it, then it becomes a habit. Habit. Once it becomes a habit, then it is difficult to break the habit. It is not even, you don't need to, then not desire or anything. Just mechanically you will do that. 12 o'clock, after lunch, eat chocolate. Becomes what now? Habit. So desire can be managed, but something has become a habit, it is difficult to break. And something, suppose there are certain things we do. We have certain habits now. Habit of getting up in the morning, 5 o'clock. Habit of doing meditation in the morning. Or habit of doing some exercise or going for a walk or a yoga asana in the morning. A habit of praying before eating. There are so many habits. And so habit of bathing first thing every day in the morning. Everything becomes a habit. And keeping everything tidy. Like everything becomes a habit. Like once, there are habits, okay. But watching television late in the night. A whole day watching television. Or sometimes, I have this particular serial, this time watching certain serials. And it becomes a habit. Everything becomes a habit. So now, then certain things we can say, that express Shubha Vasana and Ashubha Vasana. So we have bad habits and good habits. What is a bad habit? It's not bad means what? Anything which makes you stagnates your spiritual growth is called bad habit, isn't it? A habit which really contributes for your spiritual growth is a good habit. Really speaking, there's no. Everything is okay. Isn't it? So anything which contributes for your spiritual growth is a good habit. A habit which stagnates your spiritual growth is what now? Not only stagnates, it pulls you down. Some habits will not even stagnate your spiritual growth, it will pull you down also. They are bad habits. So, this calls of the bad habits are Ashubha Vasana, isn't it? Ashubha Vasana Janat Jatam. His good habits are what now? Shubha Vasana Chata. So the good habits are okay. But what about the bad habits? You know? The bad habits have to be really changed. Therefore, there is a Vasana. Therefore, this Vasana alone gives rise to what now? Habits. Therefore, we have to take care of this vasanas. How? If you have any bad habit, Shankara says this way, if you have any bad habit, not if you have, we do have bad habits. Okay? And those bad habits, getting up late in the morning is a bad habit. If there's any bad habit, or eating any time you want to eat, doing things which are all not good, the indisciplines. No, adharma here. It is not a wrong action, but it is not a discipline, isn't it? Indiscipline. All our indisciplines have to be what now? Changed. How? By making a sankalpa. How can you make a sankalpa? How can you make a firm decision? No, I am going to change these habits. Because these habits, I know I am not a wrong person. I am a good person. Okay, I am not a bad person. I am not a wrong person. I am a righteous person. I am a good person. But I know, but still I have these certain habits. Habit of smoking, habit of drinking, habit of, I am not disciplined. I sleep whenever I want to sleep. I wake up whenever I want to wake up. I'm a truthful person. I don't tell a lie, but I'm very good. I know I'm very helpful. I'm very friendly. Because I'm very friendly and very nice and I'm very helpful to others, others also like me. So I feel accepted. Therefore, nobody is there to question my indisciplines. How indisciplined you are, nobody knows. People even know or they ignore, oh, he's such a nice person. Why? Because you are very friendly, very nice to everybody. You are very helpful and you are a very clean person in terms of righteousness, etc. Okay? But still certain habits one may have which are not good. Therefore, those habits are also what no one has to change. And how can one change? With conviction, I have commitment, I have to change these habits. You make a sankalpa and decide to do this. Okay, hereafter I am going to do this. I will not watch television late nights. Whatever it becomes, I am going to sleep definitely before 10 o'clock. I will not watch, even if there is any great program, I will not watch anything after this time. Definitely, you know, it's only jnana which will give you moksha. Then whatever it is, what is that big deal? You can watch next day. I will not keep awake after this time. I will go to bed. Even if I don't sleep, I'll go force myself to sleep before this time. This is sankalpa. Isn't it? So this is, I'm saying for people who have the habit of keeping up every day and then getting up. Once you go to bed late, you can't get up early in the morning. I'm giving the exam, very simple example. You can know, you have to apply this in all those things which are not really bad. All the bad habits. So one has to have sankalpa and make a decision that I'm going to follow this today onwards, this time onwards, this is how I'm going to be. The sankalpam, how do you do? Have in front of Bhagavan, have in front of big people like gurus, you know, or elders. In front of them, make your sankalpa. I'm going to change this hereafter. I'm going to do this today onwards. This is what I'm going to eat. This is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to be. Then make a sankalpa and then follow the sankalpa. Now, very difficult to change very hard to change, break the strong difficult. No, why? Because when it becomes a habit, then willpower becomes useless. Not useless, willpower becomes powerless. The habit is more powerful than your will. If otherwise a thought is there, that is why you use your will to avoid the wrong action, to do the right action. But you must be able to use the will, means the will must be stronger, isn't it? Unless your will is much stronger, you cannot use the will. But here, what one becomes a habit, The will is less powerful. The habit is more powerful than your will. That is why habits becomes always victorious over the will. You know you should get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but you cannot get up early in the morning. Why? Habit. You want to. There is that will. Will becomes just powerless. Habit becomes more powerful. Therefore, in every you can apply it in every respect, in all the actions, all the habits. Therefore, how to change the habit? Therefore, make a sankalpam. And how? With the conviction, with the commitment. Also what? No, there again, how this conviction must be born of your understanding. I know it is difficult to give up this habit, but this habit will stagnate my spiritual growth. And I can't afford to, what now? I can afford to lose anything. I can't afford to lose my moksha and jnanam. I can't afford to make this life a useless life. No, I had to, every fraction of time in my lifespan of life, very precious time, I can't afford to lose this. Okay, opportunity. Therefore, with this conviction born, the understanding born conviction alone will help you have sankalpa. Thereby, you can change your habits. Okay, this is how you are converting all the ashubha vasana born bad habits into what now? Shubha vasana born good habits. This is called what now? Vasana tyagaha. When should you do that? How long should you do it? Your constantly effort must be there. Shankara says 10 days I tried that and 11th day I stopped it. Means what happened? Again, it's called Palyakurudi Kadavithiradi. You know, again, you know, Vedalam Mindu Murunga Marithil Edisulanga Kada. Again, you go back to the same old habit. You made effort, made sankalpa, you followed for some time, and after 10 days, I have managed to, what now? I have managed to, you know, get off my old habit. 11th day, what? Again, go back to the same thing. That such a thing should not happen. Shankara says, always sada. One should see what are all the bad habits one has. Bad habit means what? Any indiscipline in one's lifestyle. All the indisciplines are definitely spiritually, they are what now? Degrading. They are really, they stagnate. Therefore, those habits I should change. First, know your bad habits, then make effort to convert them. Because you know, it's again, here also what now? Understanding born, effort must be there. If there's no understanding, mechanically if you try to change the habits, it becomes what? It becomes, then the force will be useless. Force is not useless. Suppression is not useless. You know, it will all really create, it will become counterproductive. That's why it's not a forceful thing, it's not a suppression of anything, it's just with proper understanding, you make effort to, what now, make sankalpa and try to change the habit. It's called vasana tyagaha. Is it clear now? So vasana tyagaha is also what now? No, it's also mind, thought management. Okay? Vasana tyagaha, otherwise it becomes what now? Thought management, which is called shamaha. Is it clear? Therefore, sada eva vasana tyagaha, I am shamaha iti shabditaha. This vasana tyagaha alone, what now? Vasana tyagaha means what now? converting the bad habit into a good habit, thereby converting the ashubha vasanas into shubha vasanas by sankalpa and commitment, no conviction. Nigraha bahya vrittinam damaha. The next line, Shankara talks about the next ismail, damaha. There in Tattva Bodha, what is the word you have learnt? Indriya nigraha. Mano nigraha shamaha. Indriya nigraha damaha. As I have told you already, the word nigraha should be understood correctly. Even though it means control, we always take it from discipline. Discipline of the sense organs and mastery over mind. Here, bahya vrittinam nigraha. There we saw, had the word indriya nigraha. So vrittihi means function. Vrittihi means function. And bahya vrittihi means external functions. External functions means what? External function means external sense powers. The seeing power is involved in the function of seeing. Involuntary functions. So the shamaha stand for now external. External behavior, the physical activities must be completely, physical activities are all, only in physical activities will is involved. Where will is involved, in physical activity will is involved. Because there you can use the will to manage your physical activities. How do you manage your physical activity? Physical activity is expression of your thoughts. So you don't need to tell your hand, come on, can't, don't eat. The poor body, physical body has nothing, isn't it? The physical activity is nothing but, what no? Expression of your thoughts only. Therefore, you don't need to do any physical, control the physical activity. You take care of your thoughts, physical activities, the physical behavior becomes completely managed. So, mind management is what now? Body management also. Not body management, behavior management. Thought management is, in fact, behavior management. Or action management. Thought management is action management. Thought management is behavior management, which is called shamaha. Shamaha. Thought management is behavior management. Thought management is action management, activity management. Therefore, this is called shamaha. Whereas, it is a voluntary, the will is involved there. Whereas in function, physical activity, will is involved. In functions, function and action, what is the difference? Function is involuntary. Action is voluntary. Will is involved in activities. In functions, will is not involved. There are involuntary functions. They need only discipline. You cannot use your will. Come on, I don't see now. Discipline. Okay? So like function of seeing, hearing, we say there are bahya vrittis. Seeing. The seeing, what now? Bahya vritti. External function. Oh, how do you say external function? Bahya vritti means external function. Seeing, hearing are all external functions. Five functions. Why do you say external? Because the sense powers are external from the standpoint of the mind. The mind is what now? Antahkaranam is mind. The way thought is called antarvrittihi. Thought is what now? Thought is antaha. Antahkaranam is internal organ of knowledge. And the sense organs are external organs of knowledge. Bahya vrittihi means external functions, function. And bahya vrittina means a plural. Bahya vrittayaha, external functions, and external sense organs. Antahkaranam is a mind. So, mind management is what now? Antahkaranasya management is shamaha. Bahya vrittina management is tamaha. Here, because will is not involved, involuntary functions. Therefore, the sense powers also, what now? Here, all the powers have to be, what now? Disciplined. That means, what I watch, what I see, how I watch, how much I watch, what I watch, how much I watch, what I hear, how much I hear, what I allow to get in, what I don't allow to get in, whatever I hear. So what I really, here again will is involved, suppose where I go, what I do, etc. But still, in terms of the sense powers, they don't have anything, all voluntary, just functions. Wherever, whatever you see, the eyes will be watching and reporting. Eyes cannot decide anything. You decide, I go here, I do this, etc. The thought is there. The shamaha must be there even to have discipline, damaha. But here, disciplines. Here also, how I make use of these sense powers. I do not overindulge in anything because they are meant for experiencing the enjoyment of the objects. The sense powers are what now? Functions are for enjoyment of the external objects only. So I can overindulge or I can do everything in moderation or I can deprive myself totally of the enjoyment. Depriving oneself totally of the enjoyment of anything also is not right. And because they are meant for enjoyment, but overindulgence also is not right. Everything must be in moderation. Moderation and in conformity with dharma also. Anything which is not, which will not contribute for my spiritual growth, anything which will stagnate my spiritual growth, anything which will pull me down from my spiritual growth, I should avoid. Isn't it? Just by understanding, so only understanding born, everything must be born of your understanding and conviction, not out of your mere force or pressure. Or frustration. Is it clear now? So, in hearing also, when I hear things, what are all the things I should really allow? What are all the things I should allow that to go in? Whatever I see, what I should allow it to go in? Anything which I hear, anything which I see, anything which I smell, anything which I taste, everything must be good for, contribute for my maturity, my spiritual growth. See, anything which will affect my antahkarna shuddhihi and naischalyam. You know, any object of pleasure will affect my antahkarna shuddhihi and naischalyam, I should say no to them. Isn't it? That's why using the functions are there. Functions are in the form of what now? Sense organs you are blessed with. And they are also integral part of an individual. There you do not use any will there. Involuntary. Therefore they will just be reporting whatever you are exposing them to. Therefore use your will where to expose them, where not to expose them. And use again what now? Thereby discipline them. What now? Discipline them means what now? Have discipline over what now? Be have the disciplined sense organs. That means you do not allow yourself to overindulge in anything. What I am using my eyes for, what I am using my ears for, what I am using my tongue for, is all meant for enjoyment of certain things, experience of certain objects. And you experience, enjoy, they are meant for using. But how you use them and see, anything which is enjoyed through them should not be an obstacle for your spiritual growth. Antakarna Shuddhi or Naishchalyam. This is called what now? Sensory discipline is called what now? Bahya Vritti Nam Nigraha. Antakarna Vritti is mind, Bahya Vritti is sense organ. Antakarna Vritti, Antakarnam is one, whereas sense organs are what now? Five. This is Bahya Vritti Nam Nigraha. Not only that, also what now? All the mastery over senses. Okay? Disciplined senses. Disciplines. Following disciplines in terms of use in sense organs. Called Dhamaha. Vishayebhyah paravrittihi. Vishayebhyah paravrittihi. Paramoparatirhisa. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam. Titiksha. Sashubhamata. So the verse number 6 talks about Shamaha and Dhamaha, we have seen. The verse number 7 talks about the two other disciplines, Uparamaha and Titiksha. So 3 verses present 6 disciplines totally. Okay, Uparamaha. Uparamaha is otherwise called Uparatihi. Uparamaha is a masculine gender word. Uparatihi is a feminine gender word. So, Vishayebhyaha Paravrittihi Parama Uparatihi. Parama Uparatihi means what now? Uparamaha itself means withdrawal. Withdrawing oneself from. Okay. Withdrawing oneself from what? The activities. Oh my God, how can I withdraw myself from all activities? Not all activities. Here we have to remember, we have different types of actions. Vihitam karma and avihitam karma or pratishiddham karma. We have karmas. Vihita means the actions which have to be performed daily. Vihitam karma, prescribed duties. Prescribed duties are called vihitam karma. And pratishiddham karma means prohibited actions. And we also have the prescribed karma or these prescribed duties have to be done every day regularly. Every day means what now? We should not, there is no way of giving up those activities at all. You can say vihitam karma. And pratishiddham karma means the to be avoided activities. To be done activities are vihitam karma. And to be avoided activities are what now? Avihitam or pratishiddham karma. We also have, see, nitya karma is called vihitam karma also. And we have Naimittikam karma. Not every day, but occasionally done activities. Occasionally, sometimes we don't do every day, but occasionally we do. They're called naimittikam karma. So, nitya karma is vihitam karma, naimittikam karma. Then we also have to know, this pratishiddham are to be avoided activities. So, to be avoid activities, you can understand any action which is against the dharma is what now? To be avoided activities. And here, without seeing this way, we can see other way. The activities, one individual's activities, which will help, which will benefit him, which will help him, help for his own spiritual growth, at the same time, many other people also will benefit by his actions. Called para upakara karmani. Para upakara karmani means what now? Paropakara karmani. The one's activities by which one's spiritual growth also is taken care of and by which other people also benefit. Others also benefit by activities. Okay, para upakara karmani. And para apakara karmani. Para upakara. Okay. And sometimes para apakara karmani, we must know the activities by which one benefits. One's own well-being, one's own benefit is taken care of. If one takes care of one's own profit, one's own benefit, one's own well-being, then those activities are called what now? Neither para, it's not para upakara karmani. Isn't it? Para upakara karmani. But still it's also okay. But here what now? Para apakara karmani means one's activities, if a person does wrong actions, makes other people unhappy, thereby one takes care of one's actions means what now? Para apakara karmani. At the cost of others' happiness, making other people suffer, making other people lose, if I had to gain means then I take care of my happiness and pleasures and well-being means my activities are what? Apakara karmani. Para apakara karmani, para anapakara karmani, para upakara karmani. I don't do anything wrong to others. I don't make others unhappy. Nor do I contribute for others' well-being. But still, I take care of my well-being. So, of these three types of activities, the para upakara karmani, wherein one's activities contribute for one's own spiritual upliftment, and it also contributes for others' well-being, the para upakara karmani is what now actually, really it helps one to contribute for spiritual growth. Many people benefit by those activities means it contributes for what? His activities contribute for his spiritual growth. And Sva Upakara, isn't it? And Sva Upakara means what now? Sva Kiya Santosha Karma, isn't it? For one's own happiness, one's own, if a person's activities take care of only for one's own well-being, but he does not do anything wrong to others, means it stagnates one's spiritual growth. So, uplifting karma, stagnating karma, and para apakara karmani, if my activities are really for my own pleasure, at the cost of others' unhappiness, means by harming others, I take care of my happiness and well-being, means it is apakara karma is what now? It will pull you down. It doesn't stagnate your spiritual growth. It completely degrades your growth. I mean, it pulls you down. Okay, our spiritual growth is not all there. So stagnated growth, uplifting, isn't it? Uplifting karma, stagnating karma, and destroying karma. One spiritual growth is completely becomes nil. Isn't it? Therefore, what we say, if a person has to know what one's duties are. How to keep myself entertained and engaged. One has to be engaged. It is very important for every individual to be engaged. We have physical energy, we have mental energy, and we are energetic beings, and we need to eat, we need to drink, we need to maintain this physical body. The physical body has to be active, and mind has to be what involved in physical, oral, mental activities also. Therefore, activities are must. Without doing any karma, even Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Nahi kaschit kshanamapi. What no? Tishtati akarmakrute. One cannot stay, one does not remain even for a second without doing any action. One has to be involved, engaged in some activity or the other. Therefore, what one should do? One should know one's duties. Then one should involve oneself in one's duties. What is to be done by me, I should know very clearly. And whatever I do, I see, when I do, it also benefits me, it also does not harm anybody else. So once I choose, I know what my duties are, then I involve myself only in my duties. Thereby what now? Doing what is to be done, naturally I avoid what should not be done. So I avoid what now? I can avoid para apakara karmani. First, initially, one has to give up what now? Para apakara karmani. And then one does not take the stagnating karma also one gives up. What does one do then? One involves oneself only in para upakaram karma. One does one's own duties. So commitment to do one's own duties, what one should do helps one to withdraw from other unwanted, unnecessary, useless, stagnating, destroying activities. I said destroying means what now? One's spiritual growth is totally destroyed, spiritual growth is stagnated, isn't it? So withdrawing oneself from activities which destroy one's spiritual growth, withdrawing oneself from activities which stagnate one's spiritual growth, thereby what now? Involving oneself only in what now? The activity which contribute for spiritual growth.
What is it?
Yeah?
Spiritual growth is antakarana shuddhi.
Yeah. Spiritual growth means the growth, emotional maturity required for knowledge. Again, spiritual growth means what now? The spirit does not grow. You're not a growth of the spirit. Okay? Another problem. Even Swamiji doesn't use all these words, growth, etc. Very carefully he uses. Because spiritual growth means what now? Growth of the spirit, na? Growth for the spirit. Okay? What is the growth here? Maturity. Maturity of what now? Physical growth, we don't need to take care. But emotional growth, you have to take care. Initiate. Emotion has to become mature. There again, absolute maturity is only in jnanam. Absolute maturity, total maturity is only in jnanam. Who is the most mature person? The enlightened mind is the most mature mind. Jnani's mind is the most mature mind. Mind cannot grow anymore. Okay, any growth has to stop somewhere. Isn't it? How long will the physical body, how tall the boy will grow, how tall the girl will grow, we say. 24, 25, 22, 20. stop growing, isn't it? Physical growth also is what now? We grow and we stop. One point, the physical growth stops. Like emotional maturity also, one point has to stop. Where does it stop? In jnanam. So the jnani, becoming a jnani, becoming wise is what now? Is the most mature, that is the maturity in a most mature person, is a wise person. Absolute maturity. But until jnanam, one has to be relatively mature. Emotionally relatively mature. That relative maturity means what now? The maturity required for the what now? Being able to focus, be contemplative, not to be disturbed by other things, and to focus to attain jnanam. That maturity is what we say spiritual growth here. Antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. At least you are not disturbed. You are not very distracted. Not disturbed, you are not distracted as well. Disturbed means there is no shuddhi. Distracted means there is no steadiness. Distraction free mind means what? Steady mind. Undisturbed mind means pure mind. Okay, disturbance free, distraction free mind, which is capable of focused, being focused in contemplation, etc., in Shastra understanding, etc., is called what now? Relatively mature mind. Okay? Para apakaram karma will keep you ever a split personality. Isn't it? Therefore, here what we say here, spiritual growth means emotional maturity required for the vision of the Atma is called spiritual growth here. Okay. So what is it which one has to engage oneself in activities? The whole third chapter is for what now? It is not, if karma produces phalam, why should you do karma? It is not possible for one to remain without doing any actions. So you have to use shamaha was taught, damaha was taught, how to engage myself. In the whole teaching, you know how to engage myself. Where to engage, when to engage, how to keep myself engaged properly. The adverb is very important. How to engage myself properly. Because I do somehow or other, I keep myself engaged in something or the other. You, whether you are asked to be engaged or not, you are engaged in something or the other. That's why you have no choice about doing karma. When you engage yourself in activities, if you know what you are engaging yourself in, then that's why you have to know your duties and know the act. When you do your duties, you are, your due performance or your duties, you know, help you to contribute for your spiritual growth. It for your own, at the same time it also contributes for the well-being of others. Your activities really make many people happy. Many people, when the more and more people benefit by your actions, the more your activities are what now? Para upakara karmani. So such activities will contribute for one's spiritual growth, emotional maturity. Antakarna shuddhi anyan. Naishchalyam. Whereas the para apakara karmani will destroy your growth, will detain you. Not a detain you, in fact, that's why we say pranasha. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says pranasha. Therefore, he says, first initially you can withdraw yourself from the unwanted, unnecessary, wrong, destroying, stagnating activities. So engage yourself in what now? The activities which contribute for your spiritual growth. I mean, by do your own duties. And later on, it will help you to what first you do the vihitam karma, avoid pratishiddham karma. Withdrawal from pratishiddham karma is how? By involving yourself in vihitam karma, prescribed duties. Involve yourself in vihitam karma, thereby you can withdraw yourself from pratishiddham karma. And slowly you can become what now? You can withdraw yourself from other activities also. Uparama will talk again. It's not complete. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.